Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland and the Legacy and Faith Show with estate and tax planning attorney Paul Grant. Good to see you once again, Paul.
Thanks. It's always good to be here with you.
Good to see you and good to hear your passion for estate planning. A lot more than just documents, even though you like to make the documents as much as the next guy.
Yeah, that's right. They're certainly an important part of the process, and what we have to do as attorneys is that there has to be a ultimate document that expresses our intent. But, you know, over the past couple of shows, there's been kind of a theme, which is that there's a lot of dangers in estate planning that people don't realize as they begin this process. So maybe you're out there thinking, well, maybe I need to do some estate planning, or I already have my estate plan done, and so why do I need to do anything more? And the past shows, actually unintentionally, I really didn't sit down and jot out that this would almost be like a 4-week series on the things to be prepared that could go wrong, but it's actually turned into that. And so one of the other things that I have found in my practice is that there's a generational gap philosophy in the creators of the document versus those who are going to receive and inherit. And so I sat down and I started sketching out some notes, and I wrote the generation gap. And I want to spend some time today talking about the different generations, how those different generations view the world, view money, and how that generation gap is really a difficult thing to close in estate planning, and that it really produces some problems in estate planning.
Is this like, you mean millennials versus boomers, that
yes.
kind of thing?
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. And so so it is some a lot of the different generations. And right now, there are 6 different generations that are on the earth right now.
Okay.
So let's take a look at some of those generations. And first I want to say this, that really the difficulty I see in estate planning is with generational thinking is trying to create a plan that clearly denotes the intent of the creator who thinks one way, but yet then bring it down to the next generation who is going to receive the wealth, who is going to receive what that plan has, and make sure that they receive it in a appreciated way. Mm. Make sure that they're not going to resent the plan. And so as an estate planner, that's sometimes very difficult, but yet that's my job. So let's talk about the different generations here.
Yeah, okay. So we always think of the greatest generation. That might be one of them. There's not a whole lot of people in the greatest generation around still, but
yeah,
there
that's
are
right.
some.
There are very few. So so what I believe you're talking about is called the GI generation, mm-hmm. which is anyone who was born before 1926. And then we have what is termed the mature and elder generation, and that is somebody born between 1926 and 1945. So as you said, the GI generation, I think you have to be like 96 or
right.
something like that in order to qualify in that. So that generation is dying out. Baby boomers then is the next. And we hear a lot of stuff about baby boomers, okay, because they're very, very important, you know. And then then we have Generation X, which is the generation from 1965 through 1980. And that happens to be my generation.
Okay.
And we'll talk.
My wife's too.
Okay. And we'll happen to talk about the great problems that we have set the world up for. And then Generation Y. And we still don't know why. But they're from 1981 through 2000. And then Generation Z is anyone born in 2000 and in the 2000s. So 2001 and beyond. And so what I wanted to do just very briefly is take a look at some of the characteristics of these different generations.
Okay.
Because if we take a look at some of the background and understand, when we talk about different generations, we've all had a different experience growing up in the world. And really what I want you to be thinking about and hearing as I run through some of these characteristics briefly is, number one, would this generation, based upon their world events, based upon the things that they walked through, would they view money? Would they view family? Would they view passing wealth off generationally? Would all of their background skew and change how they viewed their world and how they want to transfer things and their wealth?
Oh, I think it would.
Oh, I think it will, yeah, too. And mm-hmm. So let's take a crack at some of the different attributes and some of the characteristics. Of course, these are generalities. These are things that people have penned, suggesting that each generation, based upon their world events, really it's about world events and sure. some of the economic things that they've gone through. So let's start with the GI generation real quick. Well, they had a very strong sense of civic duty. They've gone through the Great Depression, and they also went through two major world wars. So they have a very different sense of what it means to be sacrificial. They have a very different sense of what it means to rebuild something after it was taken mm-hmm. away or stalled during their lifetime. They're a generation who lost more men than any other generation on the earth today. And so would those things change how that generation views money? Oh, yeah, I think so. So then we have the mature silent, which is born of 1927 through 1945. And in that generation, they went through the Korean War and the Vietnam War. They're the richest, most free-spending retirees in history. They still have the thought process and the mentality that marriage is for life, that having a divorce or children out of wedlock was still not a social norm or socially accepted. Their biggest complaints in school were chewing gum and putting gum in hair. And so retirement means to them that they just want to sit down and relax a little bit. They had the big swing generation of music, and they really have maybe some of the traditional core values, maybe as believers, that we would look at and think about as core values that society should be honoring. They're very disciplined and self-sacrificing. So that tends to be some of the things that the mature silence go through. Now, the baby boomers, that's actually the biggest generation on the earth right now. It will be taken over by Generation Z at some point, and very quickly, actually. But baby boomers are currently the largest generation, right?
And living longer.
And living yeah. longer. Mm-hmm. That's right. Mm-hmm. And so that will change how they view money, will it not? So that's a great point, mm-hmm. Which is that because they're living longer, they're a little more self-orientated with their money. Their value of actually leaving something to the next generation is not quite as strong as the matures. So the matures really have a value that says, I want to leave a legacy at any cost, even if it harms me, because they're the sacrificial right. ones. The baby boomer generation is, well, I would really rather use my money.
Right.
I really like cruises. I'm thinking vacations are in my sight. But what you just said is also a very key component, which is the reality that says, have I really saved enough?
Yeah. And they're afraid of running out of money.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So there was a really big shift in this generation. They're the first generation brought up on TV. And so that also means commercials were changed, and the way that we received information was greatly changed. Divorces now became much more common. So this is the first generation that may have said, I'm tired of my spouse, so I'm going to divorce. They had parents that were stable, but now they have decided to move in and out of marriages for the first time. Technology has been introduced to them, but later in life, not during their
formative years.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. right. They tended to stay with jobs much longer. So this is kind of the last generation that has pensions, that may have stayed with a company for 25, 30 plus years before they retired. So all of these things are going to shape the value and how they perceive money. And therefore, if it's perceived by their world environment and how they grew up, that also then is a change on how they are going to create their documents versus their parents, right?
Right.
Then we get into, obviously, the most amazing generation ever, which is X. So that's born between 1965 and 1980, which is exactly where I'm at. And so my generation tends to be very individualistic. Therefore, we think that we can conquer the world. We're very entrepreneurial. We will start businesses in a drop of a bucket. It's just, you know, oh, I have a great idea. I can do that. And we're off to the races. We don't feel like we're a generation because we're not quite old enough yet to think that way, even though now our kids are starting to grow up right before our very eyes. We like to explore and learn. We were introduced in the 80s to the AIDS epidemic, to homosexuality. The very beginning of technology was introduced in my late 20s, early 30s. So we're much more comfortable with technology. And actually, we've started kind of the technology revolution. And so many of my generation are late to marry or late to have kids. We were the first generation to experience parents who were divorced. We were the first generation to experience what it means to travel between mom and dad's house. And so because of these things, we tend to be much more skeptical. We tend to not believe things out of the gate. And we tend to then be a little more self-reliant than sociologically reliant. And so we don't know our neighbors very well, and we're not going to really lean upon other people. So that's my generation, and you're welcome. So, but in that generation, because of some of the individuality, then we raise the next generation. So, so what that shows then, generation Y, or the millennials, right? They're born between 1981 and 2000. So I have two children in that age group. And they were nurtured by parents. So we constantly tell our kids how great they are and how wonderful they are. And, oh my gosh, my kids can do no wrong. And silly little kids, they believe it. I can't believe that they actually believe me when I tell them they're so awesome. And so so now that next generation in the workforce is very much more centered on, well, what are the benefits for me because, you know, I'm special.
We've heard that term, the millennials are very entitled, very entitled.
Very entitled maybe. Are they going to be devoted to the workplace? We don't know that yet. Are they going to be long-lasting employees? Are they going to really give everything that they have? Well, so far, statistically, they move around very, very quickly. If they don't like one job, they're going to find another one that suits them better. And it's really about how many bonuses, how good. I mean, have you gone to Amazon and or seen on the news the Amazon buildings that they create now with waterfalls in them, and there's forests, and they just encourage people to share ideas at, you know, the structure is beginning to change. I'm not saying it's going to erode, because that would be a perceptive, you know, the perception of the entrepreneur. It's different than where it was when my parents were working. Mm. And so none of these are right or wrong. All of these are simply a setup to say, in estate planning, we all come from a different mentality, and we all come from a different background. So the millennials, they've known nothing but the electronic age. They know nothing about anything but a computer right in front of their face. Right. And so therefore, this all changes how we perceive money, how we perceive how we're going to spend, how we perceive how we're going to save, how we perceive how we're going to leave it. Yeah. And these different generational gaps are a huge issue in creating an estate plan. And it must come back then, as a closing statement here before as we move into break, is that it must come back to, number one, what's the intent of the creator? That's my job. Capture your intent. In other words, the one who's creating it, but in a way that can be passed smoothly and in an appreciative manner to the next generation. And that's the generational gap that we have to start talking about.
Got to talk about that when you're estate planning. The generation gap, how it affects your estate plan. If this is an intriguing subject to you and you know you need some help, well, Paul Grant would love to help you. How do people get in touch with you, Paul?
Head over to our website. It's legacyandfaith.com. We have past podcasts. We have all of our shows uploaded there, a way to communicate by email to us, and also sign up for educational sessions that are complimentary, no charge. So sign up for an educational class that's coming up.
Okay, I'm back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." God's people need to be fully prepared in managing their finances and ensuring that their wealth is properly transferred. It is our passion to bring this knowledge to the body of Christ. If your church would benefit from having a financial and estate session that is biblically based, then I encourage you to reach out to us so that we can help design and implement a specific and strategic session for your church. Or if you are interested in estate planning services, then I likewise encourage you to reach out to us. You can go to legacyandfaith.com and receive all the information you need. Again, go to legacyandfaith.com.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant this week. Interesting discussion on how the generation gap affects estate planning. And Paul, you kind of laid out the different generations there. We kind of ended up with the millennials. Is there anybody else? What about people who've been born since 2000? Are they in their own?
Yeah, we have no data yet. We'll just make complete assumptions with them. Okay. Now, remember, all this information is our generalities. Right. And so we need to create estate plans that are for specific individuals, which is number one, why you got to get together with a really good attorney who's going to ask the right questions, because your children may buck these trends. You may not find yourself to say, well, yeah, I see the generation that I'm in, but that's really not me. Okay, no problem. But that's why we have to sit down together.
Well, one question I have, you've said in previous shows that everybody who receives a large inheritance tends to treat it like the lottery and blows through it. Is that true with all generations? Even older generations will also tend to just blow it within a year?
Unfortunately, I really can't get away from the statistics, which is that we tend to treat free money as if it is money that we can just use, and versus the thought process that says this is a gift, a one-time gift. How do I ensure that this one-time gift lasts me for a lifetime now and sets me up into a different ability to take care of myself and my family generationally?
Okay, so that's a problem with all generations.
So I think so, yes.
In your experience, though, what have you seen between the generations?
Yeah, because we have very different viewpoints and different priorities over money, then really what we walk into estate planning with is are those thought processes, and then they are beginning to create documents based upon that mentality. So let me give you a couple of examples. Number one, elders who are going to be grandparents now. So the grandparents on this earth, we talked about that they were very stable at their jobs, that they had parents who grew up in the Great Depression. They were penny pinchers and sacrificially saved to build something up for themselves. As a priority then, one of their greater priorities is to make sure that their financial assets, their real estates, is actually left to the next generation. Okay. Now, I'm going to skip a generation, which would be my parents, and move down to my generation, which is in their 50s, typically within their 50 and some in their 40s, okay, which is that their higher value really is, I want to make sure that you have enough money for yourself. And because I'm individualistic and because I'm an entrepreneur and because I think I can change the world tomorrow, I'm going to be able to take care of myself.
And I'm going to live forever.
Process. Oh, well, of course. Yeah. I'm at 51. I'm just beginning to feel what it like, you know, kind of feel what it means to get out of bed in the morning. And right. So that's a new thought. But see, my mentality is that, well, it's okay. I can take care of myself because I'm individualistic. I don't need my neighbors. And so therefore I don't need my parents' money. What I want to make sure is passed to me is I want your story. I want to make sure that I know who you are because your story is more valuable to me than really your money. Now, don't get me wrong. We will accept your money. So we're not going to now just not take it. But the issue is that the value that we come to the table with, which is I want to pass my money, but I want to make sure that you know my story is a greater value in my generation. Now, as we age, guess what will potentially happen to that thought process, which is that it might begin to skew. So I'm not saying that we're going to be forever there, but we tend to be there right now, which is how can we help mom and dad make sure that they have a good life while they're here with us? We're much more into maybe genealogy tracing. I want to know where my name came from. I want to trace my bloodline and I want to take the pilgrimage back to Scotland because that's where the Grant name comes right. from. Okay. So we're into tell me your stories. Now, is that a gap then? Is that if my parents are of the thought process that says I need to leave something and I'm of the thought process that says, well, I need your story. If we never talked, and I only get money from my parents, and I never get the story, then how satisfied am I as an inheritor? Mm. Actually, I'm not satisfied at all because all I got was money, and it didn't meet my expectation as the inheritor. And what do we do as estate planners? We create documents, and what do the documents actually deal with? It only deals with the money. And so here is where a huge gap in estate planning exists, which is, are we dealing with families as a unit? Tell me, what is your expectation, kids of the estate planners? What is your expectation in receiving wealth? What do you think you're going to use it for? How do you want to manage this? Is this important because whatever this is, because that's important to me as the creator. And the values of passing from one generation to the next, there is a huge gap because they don't talk about the issue. They don't talk about the plan. And it kind of goes back to a previous show that we did, which is the it mentality. See, the document, it will solve the problem. No, it doesn't. Because it can't communicate what our desires and passions are. It really just deals with the finances. And so I'll raise my hand. People can't see, but I'm raising my hand. I will take part of the blame as an attorney, which is, do we have a program set up to help clients bridge this gap and begin to communicate generationally so that the receivers can be just as satisfied with the estate plan as the creators are satisfied to say, I am passing on my legacy. I'm passing on my intent to the next generation, and it satisfies me. But if it satisfies you, does it satisfy your kids? And as we get into the baby boomers, remember one of the characteristics that we talked about that and again, the generality, so I'm sorry, you're welcome to write me letters about how this is not you, I will accept them, but that they tend to be far more individualistic and far more concerned about their own security than the next generations. That's okay. I'm not saying it's wrong because you've pointed out, well, they have healthcare issues and other things and potentially most of that generation underprepared for retirement. So therefore, we need to make sure that you're safe.
Boy, people just live longer now.
Yeah, that's right.
You've got a plan for that.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so we need to make sure that the generations and that the planning satisfies both sides of the aisle. Make sure that everything is done well. And look, the word God is very concerned with generations. Lamentations 5:19. You know, if I can pull something out from Lamentations that it's actually a really good discussion. Lamentations says, "Oh Lord, you rule forever. Your throne is from generation to generation." Psalm 72, "Let them fear you while the sun endures and as long as the moon is in the sky throughout all generations. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom and your dominion endures throughout all generations." It's interesting how God, his word, talks about generations, about how he wants to be a God of generations. He wants us to train up and encourage our kids to follow after him, the generational legacy. Well, I'm here to tell you, there's a gap in estate planning, and it's called the generational gap, and we need to have a resolution to this gap. So what I would offer is that we can begin the process of having a program that accomplishes this gap, where generations can be satisfied, not in just the giving, but in the receiving, and we can bridge the generational gap mentality.
So you can work in some generation gap questions into estate planning.
Absolutely. Yeah, yep. Okay. And so our firm isn't there yet, but we are committed and we are progressing on building a very specific program to alleviate this issue. So head over to legacyandfaith.com. All of our past podcasts are there. Get a hold of us. As a matter of fact, if this is an important issue to you, we want your voice as we develop this program. Mm-hmm. Help us out. Let us help you. And together we can really create something that influences generations.
Considering the generation gap in estate planning, one of the things, again, that really sets Paul Grant apart and his firm. Find out more again at legacyandfaith.com. Another great edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with estate and tax planning attorney Paul Grant here on KCIS.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.